You're listening to the Light Novel Podcast. Visit us online at lightnovelpodcast.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Light Novel Podcast. This episode, we're going to call it the licensing catch-up episode because we realized that, the past week we got 6 new licenses, but we also realized that there's 5 licenses that we've just not talked about that happened over the last couple weeks. So we kind of figured we'd get all caught up. Mm-hmm. With me on this episode, I have Jean-Luc.
Hello, everyone. Let me get my mustard to go with the ketchup.
That one took a while to register.
That took me a minute. I was like, what are you talking? Oh, ketchup. Oh, yeah. Wow. It's not even that late at night here. Holy crap. Okay. And I have Full Metal.
Hi.
I have Mirage.
Good evening. It's not even that late at night over here either.
And I have Terrence.
What's up?
All right. So we'll do Tentai, then Yen On, and then mm-hmm. Seven Seas. We'll go in order of who was first in and who was last out. How about that?
Don't we have news to talk about?
Well, I don't know.
The only news we have is we learned that 3 things that we're supposed to hear next season end up in fall for delays.
Oh, yeah. Everything's been delayed. Mm. You know what? I'm not even going to worry about it anymore with COVID now and schedules. It's like, guys, if you're really that interested in a light novel anime, just follow it on Twitter and they'll tell you what that fact that it's not going to air when it was supposed to.
It will happen when it happens.
Pretty much everything nowadays, everything is like, believe it when you see the first episode.
and even then it's not sure because Apare Danman had 3 episodes and then was up a season.
Delayed again. You can believe nothing anymore. However, supposedly publishers are still able to publish books, so hopefully these ones won't get delayed too horribly. All right.
For the most part. Well, they are going to get delayed.
Well, fair enough. They said, I do enjoy when they say they announce 10 titles and they're like, they're all coming in November. And I'm like, no, they're not. Who are you kidding? Get me wrong. Most of them only get delayed by a couple of weeks most of the time, but I'm just like, come on, guys.
As long as we get a couple before the end of the year, that's all that matters.
Well, I mean, there's more than enough new titles premiered like that have been licensed, so we got lots to keep us busy. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right, so first up from Tentai Books, they announced their latest acquisition, and it is a romantic comedy. They are staying true to their form. This one is called Turning the Tables on the Seatmate Killer. This one's written by Are Sansui with illustrations by Saba Mizore. There's currently 3 volumes available in Japan. Mm-hmm. Novel update says she is someone with the nickname Seatmate Killer and also one of the prettiest girls in the school. Every male student that became her seatmate has confessed to her, and all of them got rejected brutally.
That's what they mean by killer.
It's always so weird that it's so weird that in every rom-com, you're always going to have that one popular character that goes, yeah, I'm popular, but I'm going to turn down every single person who tries to ask me out until I meet the protagonist.
Yes, the one who became her new seatmate, the seat being located the furthest away from the front and beside one of the windows, thus being a godly seat that will make every male student jealous, is Naruto Yuki. He is someone that generally you won't notice at all. The entire class thought that he will fall for her in a short time, but that might not be the case.
Yes, the typical scene where the protagonist always sits at.
Of course, you have to be able to look longingly out the window and contemplate life and what you're going to eat for lunch. I mean, it's like it's a thing.
It always feels sad because I never got the window seat.
I don't.
Sometimes it's always, I guess it's in the American way, it's, oh, I just want to look out the door just to see who's walking by the hall, past the hall, beside, out in the hallway.
Yeah, right. Is there anybody I want to take a washroom break for?
Over here, I want to sit next to the door so I can be the first one out when the bell rings.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's the best feeling.
That's true story.
Or away from in the back so the teacher doesn't call on you instantly.
Yeah, but I remember there being a reason why, like, the furthest away and closest to the window is the place for the protagonist. Like, I don't remember. I read it once somewhere.
I used to assume it just saves them on money so they don't have to keep, like, animating, like, background characters that mean nothing.
Yeah, well, I think it has to do with that. That there's...
Yeah, that's probably exactly it.
I can think of a couple more reasons so the character can watch stuff that happens outside. Might be interesting for plot reasons.
That's true.
See what's going on outside.
I mean, come on, how often do they use it for, like, even fan service, you know, the girls in their bloomers as the male walks outside or whatever. Like, I mean, there's all sorts of reasons that I'm sure they do it, but I do kind of think that it probably started because of the whole budget constraint thing. Yeah. I think that's a legit thing. So this sounds very much to me like a series about basically a girl who's super popular but isn't interested until she comes up against a dude who does not give a crap. That seems like it's the old falling for a guy who plays hard to get.
So what was the last title from Tentai?
I think the most recent license they had prior is the Snow Queen one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. How to steal the Ice Queen's heart. I still have to get this one, and I will. But it sounds pretty similar from the premise to this one.
Well,
which is not surprising. It's
romantic comedies are there's only so many things.
Once you've read plenty of romantic comedies, you feel like you've seen everything, but all you just want to do is, okay, what makes this one different?
Right. Yeah.
I'm interested in the main character who goes, yeah, I don't care if you're popular or whatever, I just have this seat.
Yeah, I just want to look outside.
I'll read it. It just depends whenever Tentai ever gets this out.
Yeah.
Considering their release schedule is, and yeah, then they're ready for it.
Yeah, I do think this one looks a little more like, not that Ice Queen can't be fun, but I feel like this one's more, I think it looks more fun zany. Like the volume two, I don't know if you've seen the volume two cover, but it's got like the girl at the seat with like a sly smirk on her face. Like, I think there's some teasing stuff in this one.
I think you're right. I think Ice Queen is maybe a slightly more, like, it's still a rom-com, but I think it's slightly more, has slight more dramatic to it, whereas this one does sound like it's more a goofball comedy. So that's cool.
I can accept goofball romantic comedies.
Hey man, they're a good way to pass the day. All right, so unfortunately that's all Tentai has for us. They're just doing us one at a time. So we'll move on over to Yen Aon, and we'll just kind of keep going here.
The big one.
Oh yeah, there's eight from Yen Aon. We'll push ahead. I kept pressing the 100 million year button and came out on top.
Press
the button. Okay. Six. This one's written by Suiichi Tsukishima with illustrations by Mokyu. There are six volumes currently released. There was a mysterious old man who approached the failed swordsman with the 100 million years button, a magic button which can achieve the same effect as training for 100 million years if you push it. The failed swordsman who pushed the button had his doubts, but immediately felt tremendous power rising in his body, so he pushed the button many times. However, surprisingly, it was cursed. The moment it was pushed, he was confined to the 100 million years prison of time. The first 100 years were devoted solely to training. After 1,000 years, he had forgotten why he swung his sword. He stopped thinking completely after 10,000 years had passed. After 100 million years, he became crippled and finally managed to return to the real world. At the same time, losing all his memories from the past 100 million years, the only thing that remained were his sword techniques. I can become stronger just by pressing the button? Or so he thought, and pushed the button many times after that.
God.
Foolishly, foolishly trapping himself in that 100 million years of hell each time. As he continued this loop, he began to think, if I destroy this world, will I get out of here? A few billion years later, he finally escaped from the loop. This is the story of a failed swordsman trying to make a name for himself in the world. What the hell kind of end tag is that?
This is the most, like, this guy's going to get a sad case of PTSD by the end of it.
He's already got Alzheimer's.
Because he already forgot everything. So basically, he just pushed the button and he became strong. So everything, it's a very fun backstory, but it doesn't make a...
It doesn't mean that doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah.
No. That last part of the summary just feels very fishy.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Right?
So
what the heck does that even mean?
I hope that the second volume isn't a repeat of the first one, and so on and so
seriously,
forth.
Seriously, hope not. This feels like the premise would have felt like, be careful what you wish for, because even buttons can be misleading.
Right. The only way it could be better if it was like a Staples button. That was easy.
Yeah. When I read the summary, my first thought was of the world's least interesting master swordsman.
Oh, right.
That's also an immortal guy who spends doing sword practices for 500 years or just doing training routines and then comes out and is the most
OP guy.
OP swordsman in the world. Except for his master, of course. But in this case, it has a meaning because all the experience that he had doing practice swings for 500 years, they stay with him. He remembers them and he remembers the time he spent. In this case, it's for all that it means for the story. He pushed the button. He became strong.
Well, it was also my first impression until Justice said, "Well, he pushed the button again."
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, this could be one of those things where like shit starts coming back to haunt him. You know what I mean?
This feels like one of those series where if the first volume doesn't impress you, then you have to really, really be
like
a masochist to really get through it.
I mean, I have no idea how much of the first volume is these few billion years.
My only question is simple. Is there any other characters that go with the MC? Because it's going to be sad if he's just alone.
Yeah, I don't think so. That's just, watch it. It'll only take the first three pages.
Probably. Yeah, how many volumes is this?
Six so far.
There must be something to it, though. Like, I feel like there's something to this that maybe we're not getting from the premise or something, or I'm not getting from the premise, some hook or something.
Let's hope so.
Well, we gotta wait till November, I guess.
Better than 100 million years.
The hero. Okay, so let's move on because I don't want to make. I want to try and keep this to an hour. The hero laughs while walking the path of vengeance a second time.
Oh my.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I can tell already. Author is Nero Kizuka with illustrations by Sintsora. There are currently 8 volumes.
Oh, I,
Uke Kaito. Oh, well, wow. Let's hope it's not like, I know where you're thinking, this but is, I don't think I it's think, like that.
I think this is the one web novel series where I actually just sat down and read most of it before the translation started. Before the fan translation started to bother the heck out of me that I just quit.
Uke Kaito fought a desperate struggle in order to fulfill his role as a summoned hero. He defeated the Demon Lord and saved the very world, only to meet an end filled with betrayal. The companions that he'd trusted throughout his journey betrayed him and killed him by sticking a blade through his chest. It was then that he swore to himself. He swore that, if given another chance, he would no longer so rigidly cling to the concept of faith. He swore that, if given another chance, he would dedicate himself to enacting the most atrocious act of revenge possible. He swore that, if given another chance, he would do things right. I'll kill every single last one of you, I swear it. And so he died, leaving behind not but a series of menacing last words. But his story had yet to end. A voice resounded through his head and informed him that there was more to his fate than what lay beyond the grave. The following is a system message. Tutorial mode has been terminated.
So another revenge porn series?
Yeah.
Oh, and all of that thing in the premise was all in the prologue.
Yeah. All right. So it was good?
Well, it's actually not horrible. Like okay. if you want your edgy, this series is edgy, but in the way of, oh God, why? Oh God, this is dark. Like, okay, I don't want to spoil anything, but the way the MC got summoned is actually,
okay.
Like, I'm very horror gruesome. Like,
you want to
hate the people, you want to hate the people who summoned him, basically.
So tell me something, it's not redo of a healer though level of
No. The MC doesn't want to do anything sexually he does not want to do anything except to the people who wronged him. Everyone else he just wants to leave alone.
Okay. Oh good. Okay, good. All right.
It's still a caution warning anyway, so if you're not the faint of heart, don't read this.
Okay. One thing I found a bit strange was that the tutorial mode lasted until after he defeated the Demon Lord.
Yeah, that's kind of funny, right?
It's really it feels like his first life is quote unquote a tutorial.
And like, how would that make that, like, how would that make you feel?
Do you design a game like this?
The MC isn't too pleased about the whole thing.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I wouldn't be either. Hi, your whole life has been nothing but a tutorial. Have a nice day. Okay. All right. So next up we have The Otherworlder Exploring the Dungeon. This one is written by Asami Hinagi with illustrations by Kureta. It's got 3 volumes so far. In this dark fantasy tale, an accident transports Soya to a parallel world filled with danger and mystery. On his quest to explore this uncharted land, he encounters a gaggle of quirky friends like Misranaka, the god of deception and secrecy, and a pair of elf sisters banished from their forest home. Before he knows it, Soya is making rogue adventures eat lead, beating up petty nobles, and taking on dungeons where death lurks around every corner.
You know, the moment you mentioned beating up petty nobles just kind of made me laugh a little. And also, he eats lead? Oh my god.
No, I think he means like he puts, like, shoots them. Like, yeah, he makes them eat lead, yeah.
Can I ask? Yeah, like the cover, he's got like a rifle strapped to him. And there's like this weird robot thing on his left that's got like a map. I don't know. It's like there's like some high tech stuff going on in this. But
I guess?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's kind of
funky. It says dark fantasy.
Mm.
Well, if it's not straight fantasy, this could be kind of a little bit interesting.
I know that I know that there is such thing as steampunk fantasy where things like guns are usually acceptable. And
well, yeah, that's true. That's true. It could be that. You know what? If it was like steampunkish, that would be pretty cool, actually, because that's something we really haven't seen, right?
Yeah.
So that could be neat.
Well, but it really depends on how well it's executed, too.
Well, yes, that is very, very true. All right. Okay, so we'll move over to another nice and controversial title, which we'll see what. Okay. Orc Eroica, which is written by Rifuji. Yeah, it's that one.
I offer it, Misako Tensei.
Rifujin na Maganote with illustrations by Asanagi. There's currently two volumes. Bestowed with the title of Hero for downing countless foes in the War of 12 Tribes, Bash commands great respect from his fellow orcs. But this hero has a dark secret. His success on the battlefield doesn't match up to his success in the bedroom. With his reputation on the line, Bash sets out on a quest of a lifetime, all for the explicit purpose of getting laid.
Oh
my god.
Oh boy.
So this is one more title where they changed the meaning of the original title in the translation. The original title means more or less just Story of the Orc Hero.
Story. I like how they kind of like tried to mix erotica but not call it erotica, like,
yeah, well, it,
like they feel like they can hide it on the shelf,
like, right, like
if they tried to do the erotica thing, I'm sure Amazon would go nope.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's another title we'll talk about down the line that they could have put something like ecchi or something like that in the title, and then they chose eroge in the title, but they chose not to.
I don't know. Okay, I don't even really want to. I've heard some stuff. I saw like one person sort of talking about this, and it does sound like there's lots of warnings about this and content. So we'll just we'll leave it at that. I think I think that the synopsis gives you an idea of what you're getting into.
If you like this sort of weird thing, I guess here you go.
Yeah.
One thing, I'm not sure if this one might be complete because it's been over a year since the second volume released.
I think the author's still working on the web novel version, so it's possible that he's been busy with. I think it's because the author has probably been busy working with the team of the Musical Tensei anime.
Yeah.
So that could be probably why.
Okay.
I know some authors try to get involved with their anime productions. Thanks, the sisters, all you need for teaching me that. So it's, and also that the, it depends if the web novel itself is still ongoing or not.
Right.
Which it probably is.
Probably. Yeah. So, next up, we have Magical Explorer. This one is written by Irisu. Illustrator is Kanotsuki Noboru with four volumes currently. There's a legendary Bishoujo game that has become popular among Japanese gentlemen. Its name is Magical Explorer, or Majiro for short. The game's protagonist has a cheat-like power with 12 different beautiful heroines to flirt with, including an additional 12 heroines from the DLC, a harem of 24 beauties. I have become that protagonist. Not. Instead, I have become the third wheel character who always laughing like an idiot beside him.
Yeah, no, of I course. Remember.
Yeah, you've heard of this one. Yeah.
I know this one.
Yeah, of course, I was in despair at first. Of course, if I am the protagonist, I could have all 24 heroines for myself along with unparalleled cheat power. However, since I am the third wheel, there's no heroine that would lay their eyes on me. But now, I couldn't care less about the protagonist and his heroines. Why? Because I discovered magic. While I was using it, I have become interested in it. I want to master it. I want to become the strongest. Thus, I have decided I will abandon half of my role as the protagonist's friend to train my magic, and then I'll beat the hell out of that cheat who can solo the Demon King. I was training with that thought in mind, but somehow I kept getting closer to the heroines, and furthermore, I don't know why I keep encountering events like I'm some Eroge's protagonist.
Well, if you want the best friend character to do something, here you go.
Didn't remember anything, but as you talked about the premise, it just came back in my mind, and yeah, that one's a bunch of fun.
And the illustrator did the Goblin Slayer novels.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So that's why if you look at the cover, you're going, man, this is reminding me of Goblin Slayer. You know why.
Well, you know, if the story isn't as brutal as Goblin Slayer, it sounds like it's just
jokes.
It isn't dark like Goblin Slayer. It's more of a lighthearted comedy at points with action moments.
Don't expect anything serious.
Nothing serious. Yeah.
I like not serious. That's cool. Yeah. All right. Okay.
I remember also is that he has a fixation on his scarf. Is really funny. Really?
It's why he in the covers he always wears a scarf.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's cool. All right. All right. Next up, we have cross-dressing villainess Cecilia Sylvie. This one is written by Aki Sakura Hiroyo with illustrations by Dan Mill. There's currently two volumes out, it looks like there's one volume per year, so this could still be ongoing. The first one came out in 2019, and the next one came out a year later. Dear father and mother, please forgive this daughter who is tainted. I, Cecilia Sylvie, will strive to continue to live peacefully, but I have decided to become a man. High school student Hiyono Kanzaki reincarnated as Cecilia Sylvie, the villainous lady of the Otome game, Ruhel Academy Saint Princess 3. In order to avoid her miserable future, she decided to spend her time at Ruhel Academy, the main stage of the game, as a man. Will she be able to complete her school life without anybody discovering the truth? Yeah.
Yeah, seems like Bakarina goes to a whole new length.
Is this Jens Press's first light novel series where we have a villainous reincarnation for once? Usually it's mostly Seven Seas who has these.
Well, yeah, that's true. Actually, it's Seven Seas and Jane Novel have done a lot more of the villainous reincarnations.
Yeah, but
now Yen Press is going, I'm getting into it, but with a cross-dressing twist.
There are so many of those that it's been only a matter of time till one of them went to Yenon.
Fair enough. That's true. But I don't know, man. The whole cross-dressing and like, will they find out and everything else? I don't know. I mean, it could, like, the one thing that they had in the Yen description was that she finds herself now becoming like the best bud of the very prince who put her character to death in the game. That could be kind of interesting.
That would be amusing.
Yeah, but the thing these kind of like a cross-dressing thing or even like secret, like they always do find out.
you're just wondering, okay, when are they gonna find out?
Yeah.
Which is somehow the one trope that I'm so puzzled by is why is it just they find out quickly?
Well, I mean, you know, maybe she's just really good at it. I don't know. Guys are dense, though. You know what I mean?
If she's good at this, then maybe there's a chance, but you wonder how long the gimmick will go.
Yeah, but isn't the guy reincarnated into a girl and trying to cross-dress?
No, I think it's a girl.
It's a girl who's reincarnated as a villain. Yeah. It's a girl who reincarnates as a villainess and decides, for once, I'm going to be a dude.
Okay, because of the name, I wasn't so sure. So that's.
Oh, yeah, no. I think it's
not that she decides to to do that just because she wants to. If you look at the Japanese title, it's actually a bit longer. The villain daughter Cecilia Sylvie decided to dress as a man because she didn't want to die. That's a little translation of the Japanese title.
That's a good reason for her to dress.
Right. Well, I mean, you got to think, like, depending on what the situation is if she figures like the only way to not die is to not be herself, the most very clear way to be very different and not obviously her is to change her gender and everything else. I just wonder how that's going to be handled. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like
I totally get you. This sort of premise just it's doesn't very sound walking like a very cup of tea.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is going to go the comedy route or if it's going to go the romance route. Or mix of both. It could go both ways.
Yeah, it could be. Can you imagine, you know what could be very interesting is if the prince actually falls in love with his best friend, thinking that it's a guy.
Well, ooh, but then that, it gets all that they're going up. To end up that together be... in the end anyway.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Well, or you know what? The... Or the or best or the girl. Or the main heroine falls in love with the cross-dressing girl, Sylvie, thinking that it's a guy. And then she finds out it's a girl, and they still fall in love and stay together.
But then it would have a Yuri tag.
That's beautiful. That would have been beautiful.
I'd be okay with that. That's my ending I'm hoping for. Yeah, well, whatever.
That's probably why this is why Katrina X Maria is properly popular, because people just want to go, you know, screw the guys. Just have the girls be together in a tome ending.
Bacarina has to have a Yuri ending. If it doesn't, I'm going to be so angry.
Bacarina is not going to have an ending. They're going to put out no new volumes until the end of time.
That's true. That is true. They'll just keep teasing. Actually, it'll just end with her being not committed to anybody. That'll probably
That's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh God, that would just piss. That would just bother me.
But I can see it. I can see where it'll end with like, you know, there'll her be no real resolution.
Yeah, like any resolution would piss off 90% of the readers.
Yeah, but
I think that's going to be.
There was a lot of manga, like romance manga, in the 90s that was like that. At the end, there's just, well, there's no really real ending, no commitment, so just decide whatever.
God, that's gonna imagine being one of those readers who follow the manga all the way to the end going, is that really it?
Well, there is precedent now for writing a dozen endings for each member of the harem.
Well, that's true. That is true. You could just do a big thing of short stories with all of the different endings.
We never learned that.
All right. Next up is The Girl I Saved on the Train Turned Out to Be My Childhood Friend. This one has, it's written by Kenoji with illustrations by Fly, who seems to be really.
The Tomozaki.
Yeah. Fly's getting around.
She's getting plenty of work out there. That's for sure.
There's currently 4 volumes. Looks like still ongoing. The most recent one just came out in May. I have a childhood friend next to me. That's all I need to know about this romantic comedy. Fushimi Hina is the most universally recognized S-class beauty in the school. She is a childhood friend of Ryo. But they hardly spoke to each other from junior high school to senior high school. But one thing leads them to talk to each other again. After that, Hina takes care of Ryo and acts aggressively, but Ryo doesn't really understand the meaning of her actions. Oh God, it's a dense main character here.
I feel like there was supposed to be. I thought there was more to this premise. Like
there
the
is.
Main character saving the girl from a train incident, and then that's how their relationship picks up again.
Yeah, that's the after a certain incident. Yeah, they say certain incident here, but in the end on press release, it basically says he saves her from a molester on a train.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then they reconnect.
This might have been the title that they had to change from the original Japanese title.
I thought it was a
train crash. Oh, really? Why? What?
The original Japanese title I just posted it earlier. When I rescued a beautiful girl who was about to be molested, it was my childhood friend sitting next to me. That was the
why they changed the title.
They even have the S class beautiful in the original title.
Yeah. Now I have heard, you know, just like any of these, like I've seen this premise used a lot. It's just like more of like a setup kind of thing in a lot of other stories. So I think it's not a central this is going to continue, or we're going to go back to, or we're going to think about it again and again. It's just an initial setup.
It feels like one of those first chapter things, and then, well, it happened.
I think it's just your typical, like, honestly, I hate to say it, but it's your typical, like, prince on a white horse saves the girl. Girl falls in love with her, with him.
I do gag every time I have a premise like that.
I'll read this personally, because for some reason, I'm just curious of how the girl's kind of like, the part of the premise where the girl's just kind of going smirky at him. Sounds interesting. And plus, the cover, the illustrations are nice.
I think it's going to be like, she basically falls for him, tries to go hard to get him to recognize she's fallen for him, and then he's just dense main character coon,
I'll read it anyway. Who knows? Sometimes type of series where the girl is always the reason you're reading, not so much the lead.
and then the last thing that Yenon picked up, which is kind of interesting because honestly it feels like a year and a half too late, but whatever.
Rust Eater
Bisco. Well, yeah, it's almost 2 years. Yeah. Well, I figured.
The first time I ever heard of this was like during this one of those Kona Lights novel Sugoi things, and then you say, oh yeah, and then there's Twitter, and then there's your Twitter going, here, this is a new volume coming out, and I'm going, man, these covers are pretty. Why don't we have this yet?
Right. Yeah, it's really weird.
4 years later, after it started, we finally
there it
have
is.
It.
Not quite.
It's written by Shinji Kobkubo. With illustrations by Kei Akagashi. There is currently 7 volumes. It is ongoing. Akaboshi Bisku is a hot-headed mushroom guardian who runs through the rusting winds, which rust all they touch, and brings death to humans. In order to save his master, he embarks on a journey to find the Rust Eater, a mushroom that is a cure-all for the rust. Together with the beautiful young man Milo as his partner, Bisco goes on an adventure filled with ups and downs. His path brings him through the desolate Saitama Iron Sand Desert, a town constructed around the remains of a weapon used to defend civilization, and an abandoned underground railway crawling with octopi. With the insight of Milo's wisdom and Bisco's sure-hit mushroom arrows, they pierce through the various threats standing in the way of their arduous journey. However, what will they do against the evil designs of the maleficent prefectural governor? This is an adventure fantasy where they break through all odds with their bows to save the ones they love.
That giant, that wrist, that mushroom thing sounds like, wow. Okay. And this is also getting an anime, so.
Yes, that's why.
That could be why they finally got it.
That is exactly why they finally got it. Yep, exactly. Yeah, so back, Kono Light Novel Gasugoi, so not the most recent one, 2021, but 2020, this was number one on the Bunko list.
I thought it was a 2018 one.
Was it 2018?
The 2018 one.
The first volume came out in 2018.
So it would have been been 2019. So it was 2019. So it's one that came out in November 2018, but they call it always the year next year. So the 2019 edition. Okay. So it was a little longer ago than I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, calendars do that sort of thing, so it's just weird.
Yeah, it is kind of strange. But yeah, like, I mean, at the time, this book, like, it was number one on the Bunko list. It had never been, like, it was a brand new book, obviously. It was number one on the list. It also was the first book to ever be number one on the general list, as well as number one on the new series list on Kono Light Novel Gosugoi. There was so much hype about this series, and then it effing disappeared. Like, I haven't seen anybody talk about it since, and it's not even on the list anymore. Like, it's really weird.
It feels like one of those titles where originally probably was number one for some of the categories is because people just go, yeah, you want to read it. But by the time that comes out, they expect that people, if they have like 7 volumes out, there's still like a following.
It's for sure.
Not the most popular one. It could just be like an 86 situation where we find where it might not be the most popular in Japan, but over here it's just, we're eating this.
Yeah, it looks like more like a battle shonen kind of thing. Like, I don't know if I'm wrong about that. Just like, this is just more of the art style. And, you know, obviously it's got a little bit of like, you know, there's this threat of the desert, you know, encroaching and kind of like Radiant Historia in that regard, where there's, you know, there's an impending doom or whatever with the desert and everything it touches turns to rust. Yeah.
Well, it's very much that post-apocalyptic feel, right? Like that Mad Max almost feel to it.
And I know that's a thing that people over here like, so they finally have something where you want, hey, you want to fantasy it as an isekai? Here you go.
Well, I kind of, like, it's not something, like, honestly, we don't have a lot of post-apocalyptic light novels. We really don't. Like, I think Black Bullet's about the first one that comes to my mind, but there's not a lot of them.
Yeah, it didn't feel that post-apocalyptic.
To be fair, I understand why it took a bit while, because, you know, last year would have been awkward timing if they did license it.
Well, I guess that's fair, but I mean, you know, they did have all of 2019 that they could have picked it up. So
probably we're just waiting for the right moment.
It's the anime. It's basically what it boils down to, the anime. Because I think, too, like, I mean, let's face it, like, a book called Rust Eater Bisco is not exactly,
I mean, I something would read that's, it anyway.
Well, I mean, the artwork is cool. The covers are cool. Yeah. Like, I like the art. But I just, I can see where they are probably banking more on the anime selling it.
And where it is kind of different, where it isn't like this thing that's like, okay, you know, people lap this stuff up. I'm not saying maybe light novel fans won't, but it's different. Like, it looks very different. It doesn't look like, you know, your harem fantasy or any of those, you know, normal genre in light novel space, at least.
No, it seems like a total bromance title, actually. I mean, it's two dudes hanging out, like, crashing through the desert.
I like bromances.
Yeah, man. It seems like a typical shonen manga from the art.
Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think like typical shonen manga, but maybe not as typical light novel space.
Yeah.
But it could appeal to both, you know? Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, we'll see what it does. So then Seven Seas this week licensed two books, two light novels.
First 30. One.
Well, yes, that's like, true. I think
one out of 15. Like,
well, I think we can very much gauge what's the moneymaker for Seven Seas based on this last licensing announcement. It's they're sort of mature.
At least they got ghost titles. At least they got their ghost ship.
Well, that's it. Exactly. There's lots of that. And then the BL Yuri seems to be. Yeah. Anyway, but hey, it's all good. It's all good. I kind of thought it was funny how, like, well, I kind of thought that was funny is that, like, I kind of thought, like, was that a dig? Because, you know, Seven Seas had announced 24 titles by the end of Thursday and only one light novel. And it was like Yen On just snuck in there on Friday before Seven Seas could even do their announcements. They're like, we've got 4 light novels. Like, I don't know. I just thought it was funny. in any case.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. I mean, regardless of Rust Eater Bisku or whatever, the fact that it's not been on the Kono Light Novel Gossip Goy, a lot of people who do know what has been big in Japan, there are a number of people that have been wanting that title. So it was like a fairly biggish announcement on their part.
I can just imagine Yen on sitting on these licenses for a few weeks, thinking, oh, but maybe we announce this sometime in June, and then looking at the Seventh Seas event and I know we are announcing this now.
Yeah, right. That would just be funny. It's funny. Like, you certainly can see that it was kind of like Yenon was kind of like, hey, light novel fans, we got you. We got you. All right. Anyway, let's move on.
So what are the unfortunate two titles that Seven Seas got?
We'll start off with Planet of the Orcs, which is very different from the Japanese title, but you feel free to look up the Japanese title if you want, because it's...
I feel bad
for you guys earlier for having to find the Japanese title of this.
The Japanese title is White Demon King and Black Hero.
Yeah.
Can you kind of guess why for American audiences they changed it? My feeling is there's probably zero of any racial thought in terms of the Japanese side of this, but I could see where this could be a controversial choice of title in North America particularly.
I didn't even think about this when I was reading the...
Me neither, but Justice... Yeah, now that Justice brings it up...
You can think about it for a second, you're kind of like, I can see where Planet of the Orcs is a lot easier to market.
It feels more like a sci-fi title that anyone would just go, this?
Well, and this is the thing. Like, this one seems much more of like, well, it's from Legend Novels, and there's only two volumes. It looks like it's probably complete. And it does seem more like the Legend Novel titles in general seem to be aimed more at a slightly harder fantasy reader, so I can sort of see where advertising this with a title like Planet of the Orcs is kind of trying to push more into that non-light novel readership, especially when you see the cover for it. The cover is like really nice, actually. A veteran hero, savior of many worlds, is sent to a new land where orcs and humans are at war. Besieged by the orcs' superior technology, humanity fights back with magic in a desperate struggle for survival. But the two sides in this conflict are less black and white than they appear, and a hero who has always single-mindedly fought to save the world will have to step back and look at his own actions and where they have led him. So, I mean, it sounds kind of interesting. It sounds like like that hero moral dilemma, like... It's not as clear who is the good person, who's the bad person in this.
War is great.
Yeah, but the human versus orcs thing feels like, this is so fantasy.
It's actually one of the more interesting titles from all of those we've talked about today. And also, one thing I must correct myself, when I said earlier for Orc Heroica, the last volume was... What more than a year ago, then I was thinking about this one.
Most of the Legend titles,
volumes both about orcs, and I mixed them up.
I'm honestly kind of worried with Legend Line because they were gone. Like, I don't know if you guys looked at like their release schedule, but like they released like titles, I want to say in December, and then they were gone for like 5 months. They released the final volume of Majesty's Swarm, and they've released one other title since then, but they had like six months.
Right, and that's like
with
only
nothing.
Isn't that the last volume of Her Majesty's Swarm only in digital?
It may be. I don't know, but it just released last month.
Legend Novel is just an imprint of Kodansha, and Kodansha is not going out of business. They just
the imprint, even their website, they like shuttered the main website, and they moved to like this weird web novel portal. Like they had like a nice fancy site and everything too. So at the least, there's probably some kind of restructure or something, at the least.
Yeah, probably.
So Kodansha might have decided to give fewer titles to Legend.
Maybe.
And to move them elsewhere, but it's not like anyone is losing their jobs over this.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
It's all the same company.
I have seen Katakawa kill some labels, though. Like, Katakawa, at the very least, I've seen kill, like, Novel Zero label that didn't work out.
They have enough.
I remembered when one of the editors tried to have their own Bunko, but then that didn't go last long, and then that just like closed down in like 2019 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Kodansha has 7 labels that I know of.
I don't want to doom and gloom. I just want to be cautious at the very least.
I honestly think this one sounds like it's done. Like it does sound like just doing a Google Translate on the second volume makes it sound like it is. Yeah, like it sounds like it's a two and done. So it doesn't sound like it was like a second volume came out and then they just haven't bothered to go anywhere with it. It sounds very much like the second volume sort of ties it all up.
That would be good.
That would be good.
Just a simple duology.
Yeah, there you go. And then the last one that we have is I'm the Evil Overlord of an Intergalactic Empire.
Yay!
Oh, yeah. The one done by the Atome Nob thing.
Yes, exactly. So it's Mishimi Yomu, and then art is by Takamine Nadare. There's currently 3 volumes out in Japan. Liam Sarah Banfield is a reincarnator. He was reincarnated into a fantasy universe of swords and magic, but at a time that civilization was already making advancements into outer space. The setting takes place in an intergalactic empire, a space opera-like universe where humanoid weapons and spaceships do battle. Liam, who had incarnated into an aristocratic family in a monarchic society, has the ambition to one day become an evil lord. In his previous life, Liam had unfortunately lost everything and died in despair. It's foolish to live for others. I will live for myself. Holding those feelings in his chest, he starts towards his second life, but is instead worshipped as a virtuous ruler from his difference in values. Will Liam be able to safely become an evil lord?
This one sounds
fun. It sounds fun.
This sounds like the Eminence of Shadows, where the lead just goes, I'm kind of alone, and then all of a sudden he has like these followers.
I would not go that far, because Eminence and Shadow, the main character is crazy. Well, crazy is, he's delusional.
Yes, he is delusional.
In that one, he does not seem delusional. He seems in control. It's just that his new mindset, what he wants to achieve, is viewed differently by the people of that new world. So
I think it's one of those things where he thinks that he's doing something that people will see as evil, but it ends up doing a lot of good for people. And so everybody's like, wow, you're so awesome. You're so benevolent. And he's like, I'm trying to be evil. God damn it.
It's totally the opposite of Otome Mop there, where the MC feels like he's a good person, but everyone around him just sees him as a scumbag.
See, author decided to go the other way.
I thought it might sound something like a reverse Timon.
See what you mean. I can see what you're saying. That is kind of interesting. I mean, this one does sound like it could be fun, and I mean, it's got giant robots. We really, other than Mob, we have no other giant robots. This author really loves giant robots.
Like, looking at the insert, I want an anime.
It's possible It's possible it could maybe get one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it needs to... It's 4 volumes seems to be kind of the magic number before it can get an anime, so we'll see what happens.
Or you can be one of those rare exceptions.
Could be. Yeah, it could
okay,
be.
Okay, I'll buy a bunch of Japanese novel just to boost the sales.
Oh, oh, man. All right, so that's it. 11 titles for all of you good listeners to look forward to over the next several months. And yeah, and I'm sure like, well, I mean, Anime Expo Online is happening in another couple of weeks, and that always brings us more.
Oh, July's going to be fun.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot more for us to talk about in the next couple of months now that all the, it's now like, it's convention season, right? Like, so there's going to be lots of these, and there's going to be lots of announcements.
Thank God the convention season's starting up again.
Yeah. Well, convention, I mean, without convention, virtually. So it's...
We're used to having announcements around where conventions happen, and we're going, oh, we're getting something. Yes.
Like, I want to go to a physical convention.
Wow. Yeah. Same. Well, next... 2022. Yeah. It's 2022. It's going to be the year. All right. So, and in any case, thank you all for joining me on this episode. And thank you, listeners, for checking it out. And we will talk to you in the next one. Till then, bye-bye for now.
Bye.
For show notes and related links, visit lightnovelpodcast.com.